This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Happy Friday to us all, the first Friday of 2025. And I'm jazzed as hell to be sharing it with my friend James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jess P.S. is on the board. You folks can join us as well, 855-752-4842. All right, let's move away from the Merrick Garland conversation because now we got the Reuters article here telling us, Jim, Trump must be sentenced in criminal case. Yes. Oh, wait. But does not face jail. Huh? Let me just read if you'll indulge me momentarily. Jim, Trump must be sentenced on January 10th, a week from today, Jim.
1 week from today.
We're going to do this again next week, right?
We are.
All right. We'll celebrate. Right. We'll celebrate the conviction and the sentencing.
The result of which we apparently already know, but right?
Yeah, apparently we already know. He'll be sentenced in the criminal case in which he was convicted on charges, 34 of them.
In May of this year, by the way.
May, it's a long time ago.
A long time ago.
May of last year.
Last year, 2024.
Convicted on charges involving hush money paid to a porn star. Ooh. You know, when it put it like that, it hardly seems like election interference because that's why he did it. He did it at the tail end of 2016's election to keep people's
To try to deceive the American public from knowing who he really was. That was to his credit. That was Alvin Bragg's position at trial, that this was not just about salacious sex and trying to hide this from your wife. This was an attempt, again, to undermine the election. And we saw more of that down the road. And again, he was successful. Why? Because a jury, let's remember this as well, 12 people, admittedly Manhattanites and people of his peers, found him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt unanimously. Those are significant things. 34 counts, violations of New York
law. Come on, man. He was cutting the checks from the White House. He was doing it. There was no denying that he was doing it. A little bit more here from Reuters. Justice Juan Merchan said he denied Trump's motion to dismiss the case
due to his
presidential election victory. Right. The judge said the Republican president-elect may appear for sentencing, which will take place just 10 days before his inauguration. He can appear either in person or virtually. Isn't that very nice of you? Merchan wrote that a sentence of, quote, unconditional discharge, meaning no custody, no monetary fine, no probation, would be the most viable solution. Now, I'm no lawyer here, Jim. I've been on the other side of this, and I've never gotten, you know, as a result of any charges against me, an unconditional discharge with no custody, no monetary fine, no probation. How is that a viable solution? How is that a solution at all? Hell, how is that a sentence?
I have been outraged from the start here since July 11th. Remember, on July 11th. Right before the Republicans were in Milwaukee for their convention, Juan Merchan had scheduled a hearing. Mm-hmm. And that was for a sentencing. Now, admittedly, okay, he's got some basis for doing this. He wanted to make certain that crazy Supreme Court case did not implicate anything related to the trial. He could have argued this and gotten the memorandums, as he did, from the players and all this, the parties and all this. And he then decided, we'll do this in September. In September, he delays it into November. In November, he basically takes it off the calendar completely. So, number one, why the delay on all this in a situation where it's very clear, as he ultimately found just a few days ago, no connection. There's nothing to suggest that this private person at the time is enabled to benefit from immunities from the Supreme Court. So he gets that right. And he also then gets it right that, yes, just because you're becoming the president doesn't mean you have to dismiss this case.
Right.
This is not official. You're not doing this in your official capacity. He gets all of this right. He gets it right months after he should have gotten it right. And then to your point. And so I celebrate the fact that he is going to sentence Donald Trump. Because that's what every other defendant in America suffers. When you're convicted, ultimately after post-trial motions, you are sentenced. And so to that extent, the process of due process here and the due process of law is followed. And well, then there's the second point. The second point is the merits of what he's now doing, right? And so we're saying that this
the actual sentencing.
Absolutely, absolutely. What is wrong? What is wrong with imposing a sentence of some jail time, a fine of, I don't know, $100,000, maybe some term of probation. And then what you can do is just this. We've talked about this in the past. I am now going to stay the imposition. I'm going to suspend that. I'm going to close out my file. And you can appeal all you want during the next 4 years. It's not going to be imposed at any time. It's not going to interrupt your presidency. I'm going to impose that sentence upon you that gives the American people some sense of, yes, indeed, there is justice being done here. And then when you are done with your presidency in 2029, if the appeal and all that is completed, then at that time, the New York authorities will show up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and say, it is now time, sir, for you to serve your fill in the blank, 30 days, 60 days. You've got to now pay your fine. You've got to be supervised. You can stay all of that, but close out the case, sentence him to something that's meaningful in response to what he did, which was horrific, not just a hush money case, violating false statements, fraudulent claims here, undermining the election itself. Respond in a way that every other defendant, admittedly not facing these kinds of charges, would have to respond to this, and then simply suspend it for 4 years. That's justice. And it would accomplish what he's attempting to do here. I don't understand the sentence that basically gives him a pass now going forward. Another pass.
A sentence of unconditional discharge sounds like a problem to me. James Santel joining me, 855-752-4842. A little bit more from the Reuters reporting on this breaking news today. In denying Trump's motion to dismiss, Michonne said the prosecution, over decidedly personal acts of falsifying business records poses no danger of intrusion on the authority and function of the executive branch. No doubt. Now, according to Reuters, falsifying business records is punishable by up to 4 years in prison, but incarceration is not required. Before his election victory, legal experts said it was unlikely Trump would be locked up due to his lack of a criminal history and advanced age, but that a prison sentence was not impossible. Not impossible.
Or a limited term in custody, right? You can do all kinds of things.
Something. Right? But
a fine, perhaps?
Well, right? Definitely a fine. Come on, man. 34 felony counts, yo. 34. You know, if I go in and book my bar expenses marketing, you know, and the man audits me, I'd probably be in trouble for that, right? Would I get an unconditional discharge? Oh, sorry, Mr. Sellier. Very important now.
Yeah, apparently, you get a very, very big job. You can. And here's the other thing I think about, again, taking us a little bit different direction. There's a fellow named Eric Adams, who's the mayor of that city right now.
New York, we saw him recently,
right? He's also facing felony charges for bribery and other times of corruption in the federal court. Boy, if I were his counsel, I would say, you know what? My client also has an extraordinarily important job. Arguably, maybe not quite as important as the presidency, but the mayor of the city of New York, he can't be bothered with these kinds of things.
No.
Let's get this all resolved. Let's invoke what the Chief Justice said, is you can't be tampering with the prerogative of somebody who's got this important job. I would be raising that disposition in the Supreme Court and now this sentencing to say, you know what, Mr. Federal Judge, before whom Eric Adams is appearing, I would like a similar deal. I like a similar arrangement here. And again, it won't happen. It will not happen. But that's the kind of that's the message.
Hell,
once
maybe
again,
maybe
that you're
Adams
sending,
should just
right?
run for president.
Right. Right.
And it's a, you know, right? Everybody's running for president right? to get away from the prosecution.
Exactly. Just be a viable candidate, and you invoke this
viable,
process
not
here.
Viable. It doesn't matter. Right? Run him. Right? Run him. 855-752-4842 855-75 Civic. Let's get a couple of the callers in. Looks like we have Cindy from Appleton. You will be next. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Well, I know you guys are kind of chuckling about this, but isn't this setting a terrible precedent?
Yes!
We got to laugh, Cindy, otherwise we're going to be sobbing.
It is laughter through the crying, yes. Yeah, absolutely, Cindy. Yeah, yeah. It's a terrible precedent. And again, not the, the Eric Adams reference is not completely absurd, frankly.
Yeah, right.
And others out there who may now look at this, again, future presidents beyond Donald Trump looking at all this and saying, hands off, I can not only do what I want to do under the Supreme Court decision, but beyond that, if I get in some kind of state trouble out there, that too, I'm a very busy guy or woman down the road. I can't be bothered with. That's the precedent, Cindy, you're talking about. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Well, that sucks. 855-752-4842. Matt from Middleton. When you put it like that, Jim, it sounds really bad. Hey, Matt, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I just wanted to bring up this silent enemy that I think could be a unifying subject if Democrats took a hold of it. I think we could get some MAGA support even if they would, you know, do some thinking and actually figure out what's going on. It's these private equity firms in Wall Street. I had a friend that worked at Ace Hardware, and they got bought out by one of these. They own pretty much everything. They're behind.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. Private equity firms. You know, when you see these companies coming in, and this is not new, right? Been going on as long as there have been businesses, one way, shape, or form, these things happen. But you come in, you see a cash cow, you see a good company making money, doing their thing. You pay for it, then you restructure everything, suck as much money as you possibly can out, sell off whatever assets you can, cash out in first, second, third, fourth quarter if you can, you know, whatever it takes. And then at the end of it all, when there's nothing left, you can't strike a match, so you just fire everybody. And what, declare bankruptcy? I mean, it's right. There's a lot of that.
And you're done with the process. And I thought maybe going down this road as well, depending upon how you do that. Again, a lot of that, what you just described, is unfortunately legal. It's unfair. It's indecent. It's immoral, I would offer. But if you're also doing that in a way that's contrary to state and federal law, all kinds of things you've got to comply with.
Yep.
There, too, this is why administrations and elections make differences. If you are telling your Department of Justice that, hey, hands off those private equity firms. Don't look at them. Work on other things. Work on, well, I don't know what those would be. I was about to say the environment. That's not what your focus is going to be,
that.
Right? On education, apparently
not that either.
Farms, well, I don't know. But if you basically commission your attorney general and the criminal division there to say, you know what, we're not going to focus on that a whole lot, that too can be another injustice by virtue of not setting that as a priority. And I thought that's kind of where Matt was going with it. Maybe it was in a different direction.
Was it Mitt Romney, creative destruction? I mean, didn't he do something along those lines, you know, coming in and you got to wind them down, Jim, you got to wind them down.
Right.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. We got another 45 minutes to join, or for you to join us, 855-75 Civic. Come back with us. We have some updates. Rudy Giuliani, man. You know, he's also found guilty, but he's not giving up the goods.
All right, he is in court today.
We'll come back with us, James Santel and Jess P.S. and Dom.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. James Santel, Jess B.S., hanging out with you on the first Friday of 2025. The topic of the moment. We'll move on to other topics as well. Donald Trump to be sentenced a week from today, January 10th. But unfortunately, Judge Juan Merchan is showing his cards a little bit, and he's going to write a sentence of unconditional discharge, meaning no custody, no monetary fine, no probation.
So nothing?
Nothing, right?
I'm going to sentence you to nothing.
Nothing, right?
Is that really a sentence?
Right. And it also underscores
how do you serve that sentence?
There's also something peculiar about scheduling a sentencing hearing where basically the idea is prosecutions can speak. The defendant is called your right of allocution. You can stand up and tell me, Mr. Trump, what it is you think I should do. Your attorneys can do that. That's what the sentencing hearing is. And then the suspense, of course, is what is the judge going to do with all that? So today, in scheduling that proceeding, the judge has already told everybody what he's going to do. Juan, what's going on
what's
here?
What's going what, on what, with Juan,
what is,
man?
What is that? Again, glad that you're bringing this to an end before the presidency
you,
of Donald Trump begins.
Have you experienced this before?
I have never. I have never. Plainly, there are sentencings that are interrupted. For example, you've got we've got witnesses. We go down this road. I've spoken. You get the defense side speaks, and the judge says, "You know what? We need more time for witnesses." That's and that happens all the time. But the notion that the judge, before the sentencing itself, scheduled for a week from today, announces what he's going to do at the end of the sentencing, scheduled for a week from today. That's peculiar. I don't know New York law, but it's just a small footnote to an otherwise very peculiar last 6 months in the processing of all this. Also, again, I'm loath to predict things, but, you know, Donald Trump's been very aggressive about all this. Don't be surprised if his attorneys file something to stay or to postpone the sentencing, run up to a court of appeals and say, don't do this at all. Donald Trump wants nothing more than this just to die on the vine, right? Don't be surprised if there are some petitions filed today, Monday, asking an appeals court to tell Juan Merchan not to conduct this proceeding. So hopefully they would deny that, shut that down. But we may not have heard the end of, even though he's getting a non-sentence here, let's face it, he is again talking about encouraged by the lack of response to him. Why wouldn't you do that? Why not take one more shot here? And it's been successful in postponing this.
And your followers are paying your legal bills anyway. I mean,
right? Why not
OPM,
do that?
OPM, baby,
right?
Doesn't matter.
Exactly, right.
855-752-4842. Len from Madison chimes in. A little quote, everyone is equal under the law, unquote. Then Len goes on to say, propaganda BS. And Len, man, you're right. It's if there's anything to gain from this, we're going to look on the bright side. Can we say there is no equality under law? Given these circumstances, and look what Donald Trump has done, the convictions that he's had, from the way he's been able to avoid the things, the way he's used the Justice Department when he was in control, the ways he's used his attorneys to delay, he's been convicted. And now we have this judge who's going to go along basically with a sentence of unconditional discharge, a sentence of nothing. It seems to me that everyone is not equal under the law, Jim.
How do you teach civics in America in 2025?
Do we teach
right?
civics
well,
in
we
America
should be
anymore,
teaching
man.
Civics in America if we are, or even teaching fundamental notions of how the process should work in America, right? That if you engage in criminal conduct, you'll get charged with it. You'll get before a jury at some point. You can argue your case. You're presumed innocent, but if that jury decides that you're guilty, you get sentenced for it. And frankly, things that do not like will happen to you. That can include a fine, that include some incarceration. How do you send that message to, frankly, teenagers and young adults and middle-aged people and old people in America? You take a look once again at those stunning dissents that were issued by Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson. No one is above the law. Apparently not. That's what they said. You know, they've got a loaded gun now in the West Wing in the Oval Office. It appears from what the Supreme Court has said, and it's certainly taken its life now today as well, that they're that notion that no one is above the law. That's actually also how the Mueller report concludes. That's the last thing that Bob Mueller says in that hundreds of pages of report. No one is above the law. I wonder what Bob Mueller is thinking today. It appears that that's simply, at least for one person in America, that isn't the case. I wonder, too, about other defendants out there who are looking at this and saying, can my attorneys argue that same thing? Do I have some of the same merits here? Well, I'm not going to be the president of the United States of America.
But that's the right, whole point. Right. Just because you're going to be, or whatever the case is, you're not now. When you did the crimes, you weren't in office, then you were in office. It was because it kind of
private citizen.
He was a private citizen. Then he continued the crimes. He was cutting checks with his signature on from the Oval Office, man. So that 34 counts. And I think that's the thing. So, no, justice is not equal to Len's putting from Madison's point. There's folks right now in the state of New York, I guarantee it, that have these kind of charges against them. And they're not going to get this kind of the result. They're not going to get an unconditional discharge, right?
All kinds of cases in the federal system. It's 18 U.S.C. 1001, right? It's false statements. Use that statute all the time. Prosecutors in virtually every single district in America, defendants who are identified making false statements in connection with government issues, representations, all kinds of fraud, that happens all the time. They don't get this kind of disposition.
Like saying you're not using drugs when you fill out a form to get a gun?
That's one of them, right? Right. But and many, many other situations across the board, yeah. And all kinds of white you make an application for government monies and you swear under penalty of perjury that you are who you are and your economic status is as it is, right?
Is that part of the civil case that was against him in the state of New York as well, right? He was changing the value of his assets based on whether or not it was an insurance claim or based on whether or not it was a tax issue.
This is Letitia James case. Yeah. This is the attorney general, right? And that's, again, the Court of Appeals right now. And so that, too, you hope that the Court of Appeals will uphold that determination by Judge Engoron there. All of these kinds of things, you've got to think beyond just the particular defendant here. You want to impose a sentence, whether it's civil or criminal, the response to that conduct, but you're also always thinking about the next case. And again, the messages you're sending to America, the population of constituents, it is a troubling time in America for that kind of messaging.
I think it's a time of clarity because perhaps the rich and the powerful have always had this leg up on the rest of us. And maybe the rest of us ought to get off our asses and do something about it. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. James Santel coming back for another 30 minutes. You as well, 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Friday to us all. James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Joining me for the next 30 minutes, Jess P.S. on the board. You folks on the phone lines and the text lines, lighten them up. We had a caller and bad connection. I finished off the last segment. You know, this is multi-tiered. You know, we got to do something. We got to get off our asses and do something. And she was asking, okay, what do we do?
What do we do?
That's a great question, caller, Jim.
What do we do? Preface this by saying
Susan from McFarland, thank you.
Oh, wonderful. We never, ever advocate for violence. We want no one hurt. We want no property destruction.
But will it be wild?
But it can be wild, right? With a small W. And this is what we've been moaning recently. You know, again, not to make this broader than it really is, but you know what's going on in South Korea right now? People are really upset about even as late as today, right? They're going to arrest the former president, and they were rebuffed by the security guards there. But people in the streets about that. Before the Gaza war, Israelites, the Israeli citizenry was in the streets. They were upset about, again, changes in their government that would have minimized the role of the courts in there.
Yeah.
The United States Supreme Court on July 1 of last year issued this major decision that amended the Constitution and said, you know what, our presidents are immune. And that's what gives rise to all these things in many ways that we're talking about right now, is somebody who is in the presidency, are they above the law? I looked outside and I did not see Americans taking to the streets, nor even today or even next Friday. And when all these basically are all done by next Friday, effectively, all those criminal cases against Donald Trump will effectively be done. Various of them are already done, but we can put an end to all of this. Are Americans going to take the streets, frankly, whether it's on January 20th or before then or after then, and say, you know what? Something has gone dramatically wrong here. And we insist, and you go to the United States Supreme Court. Again, no violence, but you walk up and down First Street there and in front of the Capitol, in front of the Supreme Court building. You go into the streets of cities in Wisconsin and Milwaukee and Stevens Point and Eau Claire and Green Bay and everywhere around the state, and you protest these kinds of things, right? I don't know that we have that same resolve that people in other countries who are responding in ways, they're not responding to issues about education or environment, they're responding to the rule of law being broken in their nation. They're saying we're not putting up with it. And in South Korea, we know what happened. They actually ensured that legislatures could get into the National Assembly so that they could vote to stop martial law from being imposed. Wow, power of the people, right? Are we ready to do that here in America? Again, no violence, but protesting in a way that sends a message to all of us, including the world, that we are upset about this as well.
But yeah, are we?
Well, that's the question that I ask, right? Right?
Are we
sufficiently, again, in the wake of what we just did in early November of this year? It's easy to say, where do you get district attorneys? Where do they come from? Where do attorneys general come from? Where do, frankly, directors of the FBI come from? They all come ultimately from voting, right? And we made a major decision in early November about the future of our nation when we decided that Donald Trump would be our next president, because that affects not only who our attorney general is, who our director of the FBI is, director of the ATF. He will be appointing U.S. attorneys, 92 of them in the coming weeks or so, federal judges coming up, district court judges, appellate court judges. Voting is the key to everything. And if there are populations, we know there are populations out there that did not come up to the bar and did not vote in November.
Regularly, people, exactly. Folks don't. Yeah.
And if you're upset today, this is what you get. This is what you get. And again, it's easy to say that. That's 2020 hindsight. But again, for the future, we've got an election coming up, believe it or not, in less than 2 years. It's called the midterms. We're not going to be replacing a president here. But
hell, Jim, we got an election coming up in a couple of months.
In the state of Wisconsin, right, for the Supreme Court. It's going to change, depending upon what happens here, the balance of priorities. And I'm not going to even say politics. We're in balance of priorities.
Priority, yeah,
right?
That's a good
exactly.
point. Yeah, yeah.
And if you're not voting in that, then again, Dom, you'll always take those phone calls from your good listeners, but your credibility drops dramatically if you're not out there doing those kinds of things, exercising your right to define your government and being hopping mad when it doesn't happen. Not violent, not in any way threatening anybody. That's not America. We condemn all of that, which has happened recently. But this notion of First Amendment right to protest, to be more vocal than we have been, where are we today? Are we really upset about what's going to happen in a week from today? I suspect not.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host Amicus, a law review on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. To Susan's point, though, it's engagement, you know, and I think if you see what's going on in South Korea, they went to go pick up the, because they impeached
right.
the initial
right.
president.
He is.
The guy that put out the
military rule, basically, right? Right, exactly, right.
They impeached him, right. And they impeached the prime minister.
The second in command, he's also been impeached.
Him too.
Because he was in putting people on the court to review the impeachment of the president, right? And they said, no, we're not going to tolerate that either. Earlier today, an attempt to go and arrest who's at his home, the former president here, that's rebuffed by apparently his security.
Rebuffed. The former president who was impeached for instilling martial law unconstitutionally in South Korea.
He's holed up in his private residence
and
now.
They didn't go in guns blazing, I guess, right?
Because they decided not to engage in violence and they backed off. But the arrest warrant continues, I understand it, through Monday of next week.
They don't know about the Branch Davidians? I mean, they can go get those folks, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right, so... But here, I guess here's my point with that observation. The democracy in South Korea is still very young.
It is.
They're still very hungry.
The
memories of the past are very fresh.
Absolutely.
There. For us, man,
right?
We're the greatest country in the world.
We can't imagine.
I got stuff to do. The Packers are playing the Bears on Sunday. I mean,
the United States will be here forever.
Forever.
We cannot imagine that there will not always be a United States Congress selecting a Speaker of the House of Representatives and swearing in a president's
fall, man.
Right? 320
Spain,
years.
Persia. I mean, go over the history of the world, man.
Right.
Everything eventually falls, and it. What? Why is that? You know, besides the lead and the incest. You know what I'm saying? It's the lack.
In the pipes. Right?
Come on. Right. The Romans. You know what I'm saying? Why is that? Why? I think just, you know, ostensibly, it's the lack of engagement.
Right. And ultimately, government, interpreted very broadly, some of these governments obviously led by the most extreme dictators in the world, but some basic faults there, some basic incapacities to continue to provide the things that the group of constituents, your citizenry, your residents, the people who you are responsible for, not providing what they need, and ultimately it does disintegrate. Obviously, you make reference to Rome, many other empires out there. It's much debated, but a lot of historians say it's 320 years is the average. Well, we're coming up on about 250 right now. And again, you want to keep this going beyond 320 years, you've got to be out there. You've got to be voting sensibly, and you need to let people know right now that you're not happy with things as they're going on. We are going to be holding on here after January 20th to see what else happens in America. And if you're not satisfied with your government, you need to let your representatives know that, and you need to do those things that you are entitled to do as Americans under the Constitution.
Well, so far, man, but, you know, if some of the reporting, and you've seen, you know, some of the mega extremists are suggesting that, you know, when Trump gets in, declare some sort of martial law.
Right,
hey, we got a terrorism problem. We got a border problem. We got something that, you know, I'm going to declare a martial law, an emergency, and take over powers and limit your ability to speak out against your government, limit your ability to protest, to gather in mass, and limit that. And, I mean, those are the kinds of things that I think it's like a slow burn, man. You know, it's sooner or later someone's going to break it, and this is very concerning for me, Jim, because even the megas. I mean, I find it very difficult to believe that Donald Trump will be able to do all the things he wants to do. And if he does do some of these things, I think the megas, to their fault, they're going to be impacted negatively by some of these policies. And they're not, if this goes down and something like that happens and Trump declares, and I'm not saying that there wouldn't be a reason for some way, somehow, for an administration to declare an emergency. Certainly that can happen. But just to willy-nilly do it for political purpose,
because you don't like the city of Chicago,
for efficiency's sake, you know what I mean?
So
to work around democracy,
right?
That's certainly very concerning. And those that would have a problem, even Trump supporters, and eventually some Trump supporters will become Trump not supporters. You know, if you're in that, sooner or later you're cast aside. Well, we see with the H-1B visa conversation right now is already split megas to some degree. It's going to be to the point where some of those folks, even those supporters, maybe they'll come around and say, you know, this is not what you promised.
This is not what I voted for.
This is not what we want. This is
not
the rule of law and all
those
things. But man, what do we have to go to get there?
Right. And that's the concern. And as you describe this, of course, the images of violence in our streets, that's the concern. And that's not the way that's not what we bargained for. That's not what we voted for. Regardless of how it is you voted in November, you've got to take a look at this. You've got to be, and here's the other piece of it. I mentioned once a broadcast when I'm here with you on Fridays, it's that critical thinking. You call upon everybody to say, wait a minute, I've got to stand back and say, is this normal? And be able to talk with my friends and even the people who disagree with me and say, you know what? No, there's no reason to invade the city of Chicago or Detroit because you think that their principles of the mayor or other people there are just anathema to America. That's too far, right? And you've got to be able to have those conversations and respond in a way that says, Mr. President, no, we're not going to let you do that. And again, we've got a Congress Day. We talked a lot about it. They are supposed to be our representatives, right? So you call, you write letters, you go to Washington, D.C., and you say, you know what? I am very upset with you, the way you're voting. That's representative democracy. That's a republic that was created 240 years ago.
855-752-4842. You know, Jim, my parenting skills are limited, essentially, and can be summarized in a couple of phrases that I've told my kids over and over and still tell them now. And I can't say it entirely on the radio, but since we're limited by the FCC, don't crap the bed and don't take crap from anybody.
Right. Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Those are Dom's rules. Mm-hmm. You know, things are going to happen. It'll be tough, ups and downs, strikes and gutters. You know what I'm saying? Don't crap the bed and don't take crap from anybody. Mm-hmm. And it kind of feels like we're taking crap from people right now. Right. It kind of feels like, you know, that it's getting shoved in our face. That the reason that we have the law and order and the rights of the individuals. So, you know, your rights stop at my nose, your fist and my nose, right? Mm-hmm. There's a limitation and there's a respect for people. And that's why we have laws. You cannot do these things. And when you engage in unlawful behavior, be it against the state of New York, be it against a personal rape against a person, fraud against the state of New York, fraud against your supporters, those kinds of things. Well, there's damages there, man. And when we as a country, because this is ultimately, Jim, reflection of us, man.
It is.
Isn't it?
I mean, absolutely.
And it's hard for me to see that reflection, man.
Right. It is.
It is hard to deal with.
Right. It is plainly here in the United States of America. I have a few friends who are overseas as well who also look to us and say, what? What are you doing here? Again, as much as the entire world is sort of gripped in many places, right? Venezuela.
This is a great point. Right? We're not the only ones going through these kinds
exactly,
of issues.
Right? Nicolas Maduro right now plainly should not be president there.
Yep,
and
yep.
and that election was indeed stolen. The one instance where maybe that happens.
In Venezuela.
Yeah, exactly, right? You've got those kinds of instances happening around the world. But there again, how does the international community respond? Again, not successfully, at least up to this point. They say, you know what, this is an invalid election and he should not be in that position. Are we going to, again, come forward and say not that this election was stolen? We need to be have some integrity when it comes to our assessment of things.
If the evidence would point to that, I'd be happy to go down that road.
Let's file the 60 lawsuits tomorrow, right? Yeah. Right. And suffer the consequences of however that plays out. But that's the concern, is that is there pushing going on right now, which is kind of another way of articulating your second rule there in a way that has not been fair to everybody and really not over time, a part of the history of our nation.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. It is the first Friday of 2025, and I can't imagine a better way of breaking it in with my friend James Santel, Jess P.S. on the board. We have one last segment. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. Text or call 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, last segment of the day. So if you have something to say, hit us up, talk or text 855-752-4842. James Santel sticking around. Just PS, a couple of you folks on the socials. Bruce says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Nice, man. I like that.
Network, Peter Finch, right? Right.
Let's see. PJ, no, we're not going to take to the streets. It's too damn cold outside at the moment. Well,
bundle up, PJ.
April and May are just fine in Washington, D.C. Right. It's warm. The cherry blossom trees are blossoming. It's a good time to be there.
Someone from the 262 of the WAUK. Hey, guys, there is a large march by the people in D.C. in 2 weeks. People need to be aware. Many other big cities having them as well, spread the word.
That's Dennis from Waukesha.
All right, Dennis. Good to know. I wonder if we're going to have anything. We should start something. We should do something. Mm-hmm. Let people know. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. Jim, we move on to one final topic of the day.
Did you a little matter?
this terrible domestic terrorism in New Orleans. I mean, lots we can say about that. But apparently Ryan Walters, so this guy is the Oklahoma State superintendent. Mm. Mm-hmm. He's got it all figured out.
He decided to come back in the news.
Well, I mean, never let a good tragedy go to waste if you can increase your clicks. So we're not giving up the socials, but we will play for you Ryan Walters. Again, this is the Oklahoma State Superintendent. What he has to say about schools and terrorist training camps? Let's play the piece, please.
You know, you have schools that are teaching kids to hate their country.
What?
That this country is evil. You have the teachers' unions pushing this on our kid. The radical left wants people to hate this country. They've completely destroyed the integrity of the FBI by making them more concerned about DEI than about protecting Americans. It's a major part of this. And look, this is a real uncomfortable truth. You know, I know the left is going to lose their mind, but listen, we cannot allow our schools to become terrorist training camps. We cannot allow our schools to teach our kids to hate this country. We cannot allow our kids to teach that this is an evil country. That's why we are getting back to the basics here in Oklahoma to make sure that our kids love this country, understand American values, understand the role that the Constitution, the Bible, the Declaration of Independence played in American history, because we want patriots. And that's got to be the focus of our schools.
The Bibles are back in the schools, according to him, or should be there. He's been advocating that for weeks, if not months out there. Again, contrary to Supreme Court rules and laws on all these kinds of things. He talks about the Constitution and upholding it and investing in our future generations and respect for the Constitution. Constitution specifically says on that issue and in many others, the government makes no laws establishing religion. Mr. Superintendent, and you've got it just plain wrong.
You think
wrong.
As the guy who right. like is the superintendent of the schools would know that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And secondarily, and maybe at the first level, of course, this reference to terrorist camps.
Those
teachers' unions, man, they're the big problem. You know,
I would defy, would call upon anyone to identify any school teacher in America today. We've varying levels of quality, I know, and competence and even experience, but every single teacher who's there because she or he wants to be there, these are not terrorist camps. And again, how offensive to the Oklahoma schools, right? And students and teachers and principals who are there to educate. Again, here's a situation where whatever the process is for him, he should be removed from that position. These statements alone are so, so violative of what we do in education and what should happen, not just in Oklahoma, but around the country, using once again this latest horrific instance. Again, almost certainly, again, domestic terrorism here. Equating that with education in America?
Well, what do you make of his statement that the thing that should be first and foremost in our public schools should be making patriots?
Right, right.
That it shouldn't be, you
critical
know,
thinking?
Critical mm-hmm. thinking. It shouldn't be developing well-rounded humans right. or citizens, but right. patriots.
Citizens who are able to look at government, as we have done today, and say, you know what, I agree with some things, I disagree with other things, I've got the capacity to say that out loud.
And I have the right
and I have
to
the right
say
to
that
say
out loud.
And I have a right to make changes, right? That's patriotism. Patriotism is not simply blind allegiance to a government or officials because they say something and therefore I believe it. No, he's got it just plain wrong. And again, how offensive. How offensive
to so the
14 people killed, many other injured in New Orleans, a community plainly victimized by this lady. How offensive to New Orleans and all the
right.
people, all Americans also who look
terrible.
At this with tragic eyes and cry tears that are legitimate. How offensive, Mr. Superintendent, that you would equate somehow that tragic event with something that's not going on in your schools. It just plain isn't.
It's the teachers' union's fault. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what he's saying. Teachers' union pushing our kids, the radical left wants people to hate this country. Well, no, that's not the case at all. But let me ask you this, Mr. Superintendent. Is slavery evil? Yes or no? I would assume he would say yes. Well, this country engaged in slavery longer than most. Right. Is that an evil act? Is doing an evil act, does that make one evil?
And use the Bible as justification
right.
for a very
right.
long time.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not that, you know, we're saying this country is evil, but we're being honest about our history.
About our history.
And shouldn't we be?
And we teach that history, so heaven forbid we don't do those kinds of things again, right?
That's the point.
Right, you know, so we don't make the same mistakes. We don't try to obliterate history. Just in the break, you and I were talking about Huckleberry Finn, right?
Yeah.
This great Mark Twain, and the notion that now it's on the book-burning lists places around the country. No, we want to hear about everything good, bad, and indifferent that happened inside our nation's history.
Read all the banned books. James Santel, thank you so much. much for hanging out with me today. I will see you next Friday, yes, after, perhaps, or during the sentencing, unconditional discharge of the former soon-to-be next president. Thank you, Jess P.S. Folks, thank you for listening. Stick around. Pete Schwabe, Nightlight, coming up next. See you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.